Hi everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman and welcome to The Love Code. This is a show that's really dedicated to uplifting your spirits, to offering healing, to inspire you, and to remind you that you can live the life you've always dreamed of. And as always, it's just wonderful having you here with me because I have another inspirational conversation that I know will really open and expand your heart, your mind, and let you know all things are possible. I always like to welcome people who may be listening for the very first time and to let everyone know if you'd like to get the archives of this show, then you can do that in two ways. You can go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. And the other option is to opt into my newsletter on my website, which is drcherylselman.com. And it doesn't matter. You can go to both places. You can like me at Facebook. You can opt in because then I get to send the archive shows to you every week. And in addition to The Love Code, I have another show on Progressive Radio Network called What Women Must Know. And that's a weekly show every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you opt in either place again, then you will actually get both of those shows sent to you. So they'll either be posted on my Facebook page or they'll be sent to you right into your inbox. So I hope you'll join me, hope you'll opt in, hope you continue to listen and be inspired. You know, in this day and age, with all of the news that we're bombarded with, and by the way, I do not listen to television. I don't even have a television anymore. And I even gave up listening to NPR on the radio, except for very, very select programs on Saturdays. I just have chosen not to be surrounded and infiltrated with fear and to counteract all the fearful information that we are being given, all the fearful programming on many levels. We need programs like The Love Code, and we really need the inspiration from people who are opening their lives to another way to experience who they are and to experience reality and bring more love, peace, harmony, and joy into our lives, because that's really what it's all about here. So if you are not experiencing love, peace, harmony, and joy in your life, then The Love Code is definitely a show you want to be listening to every week. And today we have another wonderful guest who will be inspiring us, and we're going to be exploring a conversation about overcoming chronic life-threatening illnesses with my very special guest, Richard Shunya Barton. And let me just share a little bit about Shunya. He prefers to be called Shunya, his spiritual name. So Shunya is the lead teacher and center leader of Master Sha Tao Healing Center in San Francisco. For more than 30 years, Master Shunya has been leading individuals and groups to apply spiritual wisdom in practical ways to make everyday life easier and happier, and to overcome life challenges like chronic and life-threatening conditions. He is a living example of his teachings as a long-term survivor of the earliest stages of the AIDS epidemic. He has a reputation as a powerful, committed healer who serves his clients with all his heart and soul. Master Shunya is known around the world for his ability to connect and serve with great compassion and love. And I can vouch for that because I have personally met Shunya and spent time with him. And he's an incredible, incredible human being. And I'm so happy to have him on the show today. So welcome, Master Shunya, to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cheryl. What a kind introduction. Thank you.
Well, it's a wonderful story, wonderful mission you have. And it's a delight to have you here sharing with my audience your journey and inspiring people with the possibilities of what's there for us when we open our heart and bring in that spiritual connection. So, you know, I think it's always interesting to find out more about a person's personal journey. So How about we just start by sharing your personal journey and what were the challenges that you encountered that brought you to this place of your spiritual purpose and mission in life?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share that. You know, the significant turning point for me was 3 days before my 23rd birthday in 1984. I had been having flu-like symptoms and a sore throat that just wouldn't go away. And I was in college at San Francisco State University. And the doctors on campus had seen me and they said, you know, we really can't get a handle on what this is. I mean, they tried antibiotics, they tried different ways of healing what was wrong, fevers and sore throat and swollen glands. And they sent me to a private physician over at Kaiser. And the doctor ran a whole bunch of tests to rule out things that it could have been. And then he sat me down and, you know, I was like just 22, just about to turn 23. And here's this guy probably in his 50s in a white lab coat sitting behind a big wooden desk. And he says, well, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that you seem to have whatever this disease is that's killing the guys here in San Francisco and the guys in New York. And the good news is the guys in San Francisco don't seem to be dying as fast.
Oh, that must have made your day. What good news is that?
So that was a big shock. And, you know, I was aware that there was something happening, that there was some virus out there or something. I didn't even know if it was a virus, actually. They just knew there was something, that there was some kind of disease that was going around. And nobody really quite knew how it was spread. There were different theories, and that it was, you know, it had first been identified in 1981, and by the time I was diagnosed, it was, the name in my diagnosis was gay lymph node syndrome, and about 6 months after that, I think it was the actual test for HIV, and the name HIV was put on it. And so, of course, when I tested, it turned out positive. So I was one of the earliest cases of HIV before they had a name for it. And it was very surreal for the next few days, just kind of having like 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot on earth and trying to figure out what does this mean for me. Fortunately, I'd been exposed to a lot of spiritual wisdom. I remember in high school for Father's Day or his birthday, getting my dad a copy of the Tao Te Ching because he wanted to read that, which is ancient Chinese wisdom. My mother, I think the year I was a freshman in college, had studied Course in Miracles. And I had been just exposed to, there was a wonderful woman who was a spiritual teacher. She her name was Betty Bethards, and she was a conscious channel. So she would receive messages from heaven, from certain beings of light, and speak those messages out. But unlike someone like Edgar Cayce, who went into a trance, she did it all consciously. So she would remember what she said. It all just came through her very consciously. And she said that her messages were from a group of beings that included White Eagle, the Buddha, other heavenly beings that were tasked with helping Mother Earth. And, you know, when I first heard her, I thought, okay, this is really interesting. We actually first heard her on that radio doing dream interpretation. She had a show where people would call in and tell their dreams, and sort of interpret the dreams. And one of the books she wrote was on symbols that are in your dreams and interpreting your dreams. And we heard her on the radio and kind of went, wow, this is really cool. And we started interpreting our dreams, and then she also taught meditation. And she used to say, meditation, affirmation, and your dreams are three free gifts from heaven. And so I learned to use those. And then when I got this diagnosis, I remember walking by a spiritual bookstore and looking at the window and looking at the books that I was familiar with and thinking, okay, well, now's where the rubber meets the road. Now is the time that I'm going to have to just put everything I know to use and see if it really works. And I didn't know. I didn't know if it would work or not work. So that's when I started applying everything that I've been learning to my health and well-being. And, you know, at that point, everyone from my doctors to my psychic were telling me I was going to be lucky if I lived to see 30. And here I am, 58, and somehow what I did worked.
Well, that, I mean, to be, first of all, to have been diagnosed with a condition that no one really understood before was understood is pretty scary. And then to have all of these people predicting that you weren't going to live past 30 is like, can you give me some good news? You know? Oh, wow. Yep. So what was it? So that, I mean, that was a overwhelming time for you. I mean, you were so young. You were, you know, just 23. And was that when you were you involved with your career with dance at that time?
I was studying musical theater at San Francisco State. I graduated about a year and a half later. And moved and ended up in Colorado and danced in small companies throughout the Midwest and the Mountain States. And I was a dancer for 10 years.
Wow. So do you think, first of all, that having that passion for dance was part of your healing process?
I think having any passion is. You have to have a reason to be alive. You have to have something that you want to get up for every day. Without that, I probably would have laid down and died a long time ago.
I mean, what were some of the spiritual tools that you used at that time?
The three that I mentioned, dreams, prayer, and dreams, affirmations, and meditation. So I would interpret my dreams and receive messages from heaven through my dreams that helped guide me in my life. I started doing meditation practice at like 20 minutes a day. And very simple meditation practice. I went on to do many, many more. And I was a very on-again, off-again meditator at that point in my life. Like when my life was really like crumbling around me and challenging, I'd be like, oh God, I just have to sit down and meditate. And I would get very consistent with my meditation practice. And I would meditate every single day. And then my life would start getting better. And then as my life started getting better, I started getting more and more lax about doing my meditation practice. And then slowly my life would start falling apart again. And I'd be like, oh, wait, I need to sit down and meditate. So after a while of doing this, I actually just became a consistent meditator. But it took me a while to just watch the pattern a few times and go, wait, I really don't want to go down this road anymore. Yeah.
So what do you think happened to you at that point that gave you the determination and resilience to overcome something that you probably didn't get a lot of encouragement of actually overcoming, being able to overcome at that point?
You know, part of it's my family. I was really raised in a you can do it kind of family. My father was he grew up in a working class neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, and he put himself through school and literally became a rocket scientist.
Wow.
So in our household growing up, it was like you just I don't know if it's stubborn. I don't know exactly what it is, but in our household, there was an attitude I grew up with of course you can do what you set your mind to. So that was part of it. And, you know, as I've grown in my spiritual evolution and understanding, I would call that part of my karma and my family's karma, my ancestral karma. So it's kind of the subconscious and superconscious messages that are already there that set that kind of condition in life.
Okay, so you said something about ancestral karma helping you.
Yeah.
I think it would be good to delve into that so people can understand what that is and how it works and what
sure.
it means in your life. I mean, you know, what is it as a truth or reality about how life operates?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not a concept I grew up with. You know, in the neighborhood I grew up with, I would go with my friends to their churches, and it was kind of Protestant or Catholic. That was, you know, that's all that was served on that table. Many varieties of Protestant and one Catholic. You know? And that's all I knew, you know. I was from a very early age, I was interested in God and spirit and that there was something bigger than all of us. And I remember as a kid going to Sunday school and thinking, yeah, everything they're teaching just totally makes sense. Everything that I'm reading here in the Bible makes sense to me. Of course you should love your neighbor. Of course you should love the divine above everything else. Of course you should treat people the way that you would want to be treated. I was like, but why aren't the adults doing this? You know, like they're
right.
talking about it every Sunday, but what's wrong with this world? Why is nobody acting? It's like, why is everybody acting like this isn't true? And so I didn't grow up with any kind of Eastern religions until, you know, like my later high school years, college years. And then I started getting exposed to more what at the time was called New Age thought and Eastern philosophy, and one of my minors my minor in college was comparative religions. So I started studying different religions and different ways that people understood what I'm comfortable calling the divine, but you could call it the universal truth, universal wisdom, the Tao, the source, the creator, Father, Mother, God. You know, I think we're all trying to talk about the same thing, but we have different experiences of it, so we talk about it differently. And one of the concepts that I got exposed to was reincarnation and karma, two concepts. And reincarnation started making sense to me because it never made sense to me if there's one God and God is love, then how would you have it that someone is born as a woman who is living in poverty, a girl living in poverty who's shunned by her family and, you know, ends up having to have a life of working in the sex industry and is constantly struggling and gets involved with drugs, and you know, and that's her life. And somebody else is born a white male in America in a wealthy family who has everything, you know, on a silver spoon, and, you know, goes to all the right schools, gets everything, you know, everything in their life works. They have a magical life, and, you know, and they spend their time, spare time sailing on their yacht. It's just like, how does a loving God create those two scenarios? And that's it. That, you know, that's the picture. That's what you get in this lifetime. It just didn't make any sense to me. And when I started learning about reincarnation and the idea that you came back lifetime after lifetime to learn lessons, to evolve your spirit, your soul, the core of who you are, to have experiences, to grow and learn and be more in alignment with the universe, that made sense to me. And like just in on a gut level and at the level of mind, it was just like, yeah, that's the only way that this can make sense, what we're doing here. At least to my way of thinking and understanding. And so it started making sense that we had more than one lifetime and different opportunities to experience different things. And out of that, the experiences that we have and the choices that we make change our frequency and vibration, and what we feel, what we think, what we project becomes our reality. So our thoughts, our words, our feelings are very, very powerful and create the experiences that we have, mostly unconsciously. And so there's this, that's the karma that we carry forward. So we, by doing good things, we create good karma. By doing bad things, we create bad karma. And you know, I had time to watch a movie, and I watched this movie called Cloud Atlas. I think it's a book also. And the way they and it was really about many lifetimes. And one of the lines was, with every crime and every kindness, we are birthing our future. And that's how I believe karma works. Yeah.
Well, can I ask you a question? I think I get into trouble when we start using words good and bad, because that's a duality in our world. I think religions get into trouble when they start defining things as good and bad, because I don't think there is a good and bad. I think everything is about experience and learning and evolving and growing through experience, and the experiences we have and things we do and the choices we make will have an impact. And, you know, I believe the greater purpose of that at some point in this soul's evolution is to understand that experience and learn what you need to learn about that experience or about that energy, about that frequency, and use it as a grist for the mill in the, you know, evolution of the soul, of reconnecting more and more. So I just have a problem with good and bad, because everything is about learning and evolving and healing.
Yeah. So if you're looking at it from the long view, that's absolutely true. If you're looking at it, if you can rise above the dualistic nature, the, like you said, good and bad, if you can rise above that and see that everything is learning, that's beautiful. So everything that every human being is doing, they're doing, I believe, at the level of conscious, they're doing the best they can do at the level of consciousness that they're at. So, you know, all of us in our lifetime, I'm sorry, almost everyone I've met in their lifetime has at least one thing that they can look back and say, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Or, you know, I would have done that differently. Or, you know, I wish I could take back the hurt that that caused. Now, if we learn from that and we transform and we become better people, that's wonderful. But we've still hurt somebody. We've still caused harm, whether that's lying, stealing, cheating, killing, taking advantage, leading someone down a path that leads to negativity, despair, other kinds of unpleasantness, leading them into darkness rather than into light. All of those things, yeah, you can say, you know, it's good learning. I did that and I learned I don't ever want to do that again. But in that moment, it's hurting another soul. And so I think we can all agree that it's not a good idea to go out with a gun and shoot up a school. Now, I have empathy for the people who do it. The kids that are doing this often are bullied, ostracized, marginalized, treated very, very poorly. And anybody who's been treated poorly in school understands something about what that feels like. And some people get that more than others. Does that mean that they should pick up a gun and go to school and start shooting? I don't think so. I think that's bad. You know, so in my experience with dealing with these kinds of questions,
yeah, are you there? Oh, I think we lost Shunya. So hopefully we'll get him back. So while we're waiting for him to come back, I do find these questions really worthy of investigation. You know, we need to think and delve into questions of who we are and what is happening here in the world in a deeper way than most of us do by just watching reality TV. Well, there is a fascinating unfoldment happening on this planet at this time in this dimension, and we're all part of it. And I have been witnessing lots of miracles as people choose to focus on reconnecting to their greater self, or you can call it your spiritual self or your soul, and as a result of making that energetic shift and using tools like meditation, like inspiring books or going to churches or healing centers, whatever. There's a huge variety of ways we can be reminded of who we are. I've seen circumstances change. I've seen people who have had chronic illnesses get healed. I've seen people who have had difficult life situations be able to turn it around. I've seen people who have had difficult financial challenges have doors open to them. And it is part of this learning, healing journey we're on where we can create amazing miracles. So that's what my life is about. And it sounds like, Shunya, you're back.
I am. So sorry, my line dropped out.
Yeah, I know it happens sometimes. So I was just having a little chat with everyone, waiting for you to get back. But So reincarnation. So we can talk about the reality. You know, there's reincarnation is an interesting topic, and I'm going to go into it in more depth in another show. But there are so many studies and situations and circumstances that reincarnation has. Oh, people have remembered their past lives and then it had it validated, you know, that it's really hard to argue that there is something else going on here. And it isn't just one life that we live and then poof, it's over with. And there's a greater purpose of the experiences we have and how we choose to live it. And I just find that just so fascinating personally. I don't really know any of my past lives. I haven't really accessed past lives. I know people who have done that, supposedly. But the point is, it gives you another perspective on things. It just opens up and broadens your horizon of the, you know, greater goings-on here than what you might have been told when you've gone to your Presbyterian services, right?
Well, you know, one
or,
of the
you know,
things
or synagogues
our,
or any of those places.
Yeah,
we don't
yeah.
get that kind of yeah. teachings there.
One of the things that we do at our center is we offer readings from the Akashic Records to help people understand their past lives.
Okay, so let's talk about that for people who don't know what Akashic Records are. We got to start with the definition.
Okay, so the Akashic Records is...
Wait, you know what? We didn't finish finish ancestral karma. So
okay.
I want
right.
I want if we're going to talk about
sure.
these terms, I want everyone to kind of get the definition, understand it, so we don't lose
sure.
anyone along the way. So ancestral karma,
okay.
let's go back and finish that conversation.
Okay, so very simply put, ancestral karma, so the karma that you create by doing good things or bad things, and good things, and as we were saying, you know, when you look at it from a very enlightened perspective, you can move out of saying looking at good and bad and look at it all as all learning. But just for simplicity's sake, I'm going to say that good includes things like service, compassion, love, forgiveness, sharing light with people, gratitude, love, care, and compassion. Those are all examples of service, of good karma. Bad karma includes things like lying, stealing, cheating, taking advantage, killing, harming others. So when we create, whatever we think, say, or do, creates a frequency and vibration that stays with us and comes back to us, sometimes multiplied. So the good things that we put out there come back to us. The bad things that we put out there come back to us. Not only do we create our own karma, but in ancient China they had a saying, the ancestor plants the tree, the descendant sits in the shade. The wisdom of that is what we do affects generations. In, I believe it was Iroquois, but I may be, when one of the Native American tribes, they taught me that everything you do affects seven generations. So these are different ways of talking about our ancestral karma, that what our ancestors do good comes to us. What our ancestors do bad comes to us. So every circumstance in our life is colored by what we've received from our own past lives and from our ancestors and their past lives.
And can I jump in here and just
yeah.
Give validation of that from another another perspective, okay?
Sure.
Because I do nutrigenomic testing. So nutrigenomic testing is a way that we actually are looking at the aspect of the genes that are influenced by environments. And we now know in this world of epigenetics that you are, your genes and who you are and how you express yourself in the world is determined by experiences that your parents, your grandparents, and generations before had, and those circumstances and events, and even how they were thinking, the emotional state that your ancestors were in, leave an imprint in your gene expression that you are carrying and manifesting into this lifetime. So in a sense, it's kind of saying the same thing, Shunya. We're just,
yeah,
you know, from different points of view, but coming to the same conclusion that our ancestors are directly impacting how we are. And whether it's how we are and how our genes are expressed and how we deal with inflammation and how we deal with oxidative stress and how our liver detoxifies, or whether we're looking at how the emotional state of past generations has an influence, an impact on how and what we are dealing with in this lifetime. So it's very powerful thought and a great responsibility.
Yeah, and I love how, you know, in the time we're living in, science and spirituality are really coming together as one. And when we look at quantum physics, we start to understand how, you know, somewhere back in the Middle Ages, science and spirituality got separated, and it was decided that they're two different things. But they're not. It's, you know, it's always been one. We're just looking at it through two different lenses. And, one of the things that I think it's really important to say, especially when we talk about chronic life-threatening conditions, anything that I'm talking about, you can use it two ways. And I've seen people do this. One is to beat yourself or others up and say, oh, I did bad things, or she did bad things, and that's why she's sick. Oh, she's got cancer. I always knew she was an angry person. Blah, 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 blah. This is bad karma. This is not a right understanding. It's just increasing the negativity. When I say these things, the only reason that it's helpful, and I learned these things from Louise Hay, I learned these things from Science of Mind, I learned these things from many, many different sources from Master Shah, and the only way that it's helpful is to say, if I understand what's below the physical manifestation of this condition, I have much more power to take charge and change my soul, heart, mind, energy, and matter, my whole being, in order to give myself the maximum opportunity to be healthy and to be happy.
Right. So yeah. Here's where I'd like us to go. So thank you for explaining that. And we were talking about the center and do readings, Akashic readings. Before we go there, let's step back a little bit and share more of your story and on your spiritual journey and on your healing journey.
Sure.
And what brought you to the teachings of Master Shah, who we've had on this program before, many of his teachers and who are expressing and bringing the spiritual teachings into the world in different ways. Tell us your story of how you connected with your spiritual teacher, Master Shah, and a little bit about who he is, people who haven't heard about him.
Yeah, thank you. I was already studying spirituality in college. I was studying comparative religion. I started studying with Betty Bessard, who was a conscious channel. And I started, and when I got the diagnosis, I started applying all of this to healing. And one of the main inspirations there was Louise Hay, who is a woman who had cancer, and she was introduced to what's called the New Thought Movement. Some people know that from The Secret or, other New Agey kinds of books. But, I mean, I really was right in the middle of the New Age movement in the Bay Area. So I was just, it was an incubator for all of that. And she had used what she learned to heal cancer, to overcome cancer, by changing her thoughts and her words and her actions. And she wrote a wonderful book called You Can Heal Your Life that listed what thoughts are related to different conditions in the body. And I started using that. And I was doing massage after, along with being a dancer. I was a massage therapist. And I would ask my clients, I would say, hey, you've got this pain here in your shoulder. And, you know, have you been, this is what Louise Hay says this is about. And they'd be like, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what's going on with me. So it started being affirmed more and more for me. And I started actually down the path of becoming a minister in one of those churches. And about that time, then I met another channel who was a trance channel. She would go into meditation and then speak through her. And so the being that came through was called Oceana. And I worked with Oceana for about 20 years. And this was in Boulder, Colorado. And one of the things Oceana did was also take us to all different kinds of spiritual teachers. So I worked with Native American teachers, with Buddhist teachers, with Hindu teachers. And, you know, there's a joke around Boulder that if you walk around the block in Boulder, you're likely to trip on an enlightened master and you may hit another one on your way down. Because Boulder's just like that. It's full of spiritual teachers. And, you know, it's just something people in Boulder do. So it was kind of normal there. Not in the rest of Colorado, but, you know, in Boulder, that was considered normal. So I was hanging out with those people, and I was teaching what I was learning. And, you know, I was a teacher at AIDS Medicine Miracles Conference, at different I got to go and teach in Italy, and then and I was studying with a guru from a channel in Colorado, a guru from northern India, and Swami from southern India, and I was doing hours and hours of spiritual practice every day, and So, you know, my health journey and my spiritual journey have been very interrelated. And I will say that in 1995, I went through a period where I almost died of AIDS-related pneumonia. And I thought, I'm doing all the right things, but it's not working. And I actually was pretty angry about it. You know, it brought up a lot of hurt and disappointment and anger. But I was in my hospital room, and my teacher called me, and she said, you know, you don't have to die. And I was like, is that what I'm doing? Because it didn't feel that bad. You know, I was like, I thought dying would be much more painful than this. I thought it would be a lot worse. And then I thought, well, is that what I want to do? Do I really, you know, because part of my journey with it was understanding that a lot of my disease was I didn't want to be here. That I found the world very unfriendly and unwelcoming. And, you know, I was joking about why don't the adults behave like this, that the older I got and the less that I saw adults treating each other with love and care. I've always known inside that there's some place that isn't like that. And I was like, fine, I'll just go back to that place. I don't really need to be here. And I had to make a decision. I made a conscious decision at that point in the hospital to say, wait a minute, is that really what I want to do? Do I really want to just roll over and die? And I thought, no. And between my change in consciousness and my spiritual practices and the antibiotics in the, you know, that I was receiving, I got better. And I continued to move forward in my spiritual practices, doing a lot of forgiveness for the world, for the way things were, and focusing more on how much love can I experience and create. So I got better. A year later, medications came around that worked, that actually worked. And between taking medications and doing spiritual practice, I continued to get better. And then in 2006, I met another teacher, Master Shaw. I really wasn't looking for another teacher, but I was doing, at that point, I was living a good life. I was living in Hawaii. I was doing massage in three different spas. One of them was on the beach. One was at a spiritual church, Unity Church of Hawaii. It was, you know, I had a partner who loved me and I loved him, and it was a pretty good life. And then I saw what Master Shaw could do. I saw him. I went to a talk he gave at the church where I did worked in the healing clinic doing massage. And I saw him with a woman who had no cartilage on her knees. And he did what he called a soul operation and a soul transplant for the knees. And within like an hour, she could walk without a cane, and she was sobbing because it was so transformational in her life. And I was sitting literally in the back row of the church watching all of this, and I was like, whoa, that's amazing. I do really good massage and energy work, but that's well past what I can do. And so I said, hey, I want to learn from this guy. And so I started studying with him in 2006 with the idea of, I want to learn how to do miracles. And in my mind, last summer, I was teaching in Trinidad, and there's a 72-year-old man who was a student of mine, that's been a student for several years. Always comes to the classes when I'm there, always joins us by video when we do video classes. And in the middle of the class, he started having a heart attack, and he refused to go to a doctor. And I was just like, okay, heaven, what do you want me to do? And so they said, well, have everybody, we were teaching healers, actually. We're teaching our first level healing called Tao Hands. And I had everybody give him a blessing. That's what the guidance I got, was have everyone give him a blessing. And that helped a little bit. But he was still not doing so well. So I went over, and again, I'm telling him, you need to go to a doctor. I don't know how this works in the Caribbean, but if I was in the States, I would be calling 911 right now. So, and he was like, no, I'm fine. It's just indigestion. I'm okay. This guy was a boxer when he was young, to give you an idea. He'll tell you, he's a stubborn old guy. I love him, but he's a stubborn old guy. And he refused to go to a doctor, and then having gave me the guidance to give him a blessing by putting my hand on top of his head. His hair was damp with sweat. His skin was cold and clammy. And I was like, okay, heaven, just tell me what to do. So I gave him a blessing. And again, it was a little better, but we still weren't out of the weeds. The guidance was to just keep teaching. And so I just did what heaven was telling me to do. I just kept teaching. And then they said, okay, now do an emergency blessing now. So So I got out the calligraphy, and one of the ways we offer blessing is through writing calligraphy. I wrote a calligraphy for him. I felt immense power from heaven coming through my body, through the brush, through the calligraphy to him. And he stopped. He had been like gasping. He stopped gasping. His face settled down. His color came back. And he went back to normal. I kept telling him, you have to go to a doctor. He still wouldn't go to a doctor. Finally, 2 days later, he went to his doctor. And his doctor said, you're a very lucky man. You survived a heart attack. Now, in my perception, and I always realize that my reality is my beliefs. I'm not saying anybody else has to see things the way I do. I believe a miracle happened that day.
Sure sounds like it.
So this is why I started studying with Master Shah. And I know that as a massage therapist and energy worker, I could not have done anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am just honored that I can help people this way. And, you know, in my own healing, my T cells, which is the measure of health in someone with HIV, they were plateaued around 500. And working with Master Shah over years, they went up into 700. And for me, that was a real sign that not only am I able to help other people more, but it's also helping me. So that's kind of my story with Master Shah.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And that was 13 years ago, and you've continued to learn from Master Shah and have gained more knowledge, more skills, and you now are one of the directors, I guess you would say, right? Directors of the San Francisco Center.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, in the few minutes we have left, because we're coming to the end, we didn't really get into the Akashic Records. So people can go to your center and learn more. And but let's talk about some of the resources that people have. You know, I mean, here's what I want to ask you, first of all, to just kind of wrap this up. If people who are listening, either for themselves or someone they know, or dealing with a chronic life-threatening illness, what would be the most important things you could say to them?
Love melts all blockages and transforms anything in life. The best healing medicine is love. We all have the power innately in our bodies to heal, and miracle healings happen all the time. Western medicine is wonderful and saves billions of lives. Chinese medicine is wonderful and saves billions of lives. Use everything that works, and you have to address the root, I believe, the root spiritual issues that are also part of healing the soul, heart, mind, and body. But we can do that. And there's always hope. And in the end, what I came to realize for myself, whether I lived or died wasn't really the big question. What happened to my soul was the big question. Because we're only here for a short time. And I believe we're somewhere else for a whole lot longer.
And one of the, so you have a wonderful center in San Francisco, and there is a Facebook page called Master Shah Tao Healing Center, Master Shah, S-H-A, Shah, Tao is T-A-O, Tao, maybe people can hear it as that, Master Shah Tao Healing Center. And if people want to know more of the programs out of your center in San Francisco, the best place to go would be the your Facebook page. Do you stream some of the classes from San Francisco?
We do. We webcast almost everything we do.
Okay, so that's a great place for people to go because they can access many, many programs there and learn more. If people want to, go ahead.
Every week on Wednesday at 6 p.m., we do a free introduction to what we do, and that's always webcast.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can find
it. That's 6 p.m. Pacific time. So they just need to go up to the Facebook page and they can access that. And the other website that we want to give people is the lovepeaceharmony.org website, because when you were talking about love heals all blockages, I know that one of the most powerful vehicles to access that energy of love is through a chant that Master Shah has brought through, and that is freely available for anyone to listen to. And, you know, I've had other guests who've been involved with Master Shah's teachings who talk about how that song has totally changed their lives, transformed them, just playing it, not even believing in anything, but just having it going on in the background or chanting it throughout the day. And lovepeaceharmony.org is the website that, amongst other things, because that's a nonprofit, has some wonderful projects and programs, but also can receive that the link to that chant. So we have about a minute left. Shunya, anything else you want to say before we have to wrap all this up?
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm really delighted to be able to connect with your listeners in this way. If there's something I can do to help you to thrive with a chronic or life-threatening condition, I am delighted to share what I've experienced, what I've learned, and tools that I have helped me and have helped a lot of other people.
Well, thank you for that, because you're such an inspiration, Shunya, and what you have overcome in your life and how you are now such a bright light helping other people. It's just wonderful to know that you're there and making a difference in the world. So thank you for all the wonderful dedicated work you do through your center in San Francisco, and I hope people will go and visit your Facebook page, which again is Master Shah Tao Healing Center or lovepeaceharmony.org. But if you go to the Facebook page of Master Shah Tao Healing Center, you'll go directly to the center and can attend one of the free introductory classes online and learn a lot more about this healing journey. And I just want to thank you for being with us and being such a wonderful inspiration in this world, Shunya. And I just wish you ongoing peace, health, happiness, love, and joy.
Thank you so much. And the same for you and your listeners.
Thank you. And yes, to all of my listeners, I hope that you will open your hearts and have a week filled with love, peace, and harmony. Until next week, take care.